Gmail now gets client-side encryption for some folks. A UEFI bootkit targets Windows 11, and the LastPass hack just got even worse. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for March 7, 2023. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Let's go ahead and jump right into the news this week. Google is now offering client-side encryption for Gmail and Calendar users with Workspace Enterprise Plus, Education Plus, and Education Standard accounts. CSE, for short, in Gmail allows for sensitive data in an email body, including any images that are within that body, or attachments to an email, to be encrypted before being sent out to Google's Gmail servers in order to be sent to the recipient. CSE does not include the email header like the subject line or the recipient's address. For Calendar, CSE encrypts the event description, attached files, and Meet audio and video streams, but it does not include the event title, attendees, join by phone numbers, or the Meet link if using Google Meet. Unlike end-to-end encryption, CSE can still allow a company admin or the IT team to decrypt the messages, which can be used for data retention or specific company policies. CSE from Google was first made available and in beta last year for Google Docs, Google Sheets, Drive, Google Meet, and Slides. This move expands that encryption to Gmail as well. Now, this update can allow users to collaborate with their coworkers or external clients while IT and security teams are able to keep sensitive data within compliance for regulators. To enable CSE, it'll need to be toggled on in the settings as it is off by default. It's found in the admin console under Security, Access and Data Control, and then Client-Side Encryption. Then you can click a lock icon next to the CC or BCC line in an email, click Turn on Additional Encryption for any emails, and write your emails like normal. CSE is not currently available to users who do not have those Enterprise Plus, Education Plus, or Education Standard accounts, but it's also marketed towards organizations that need to stay within some kind of data compliance policies. So this gives those kinds of teams more control over the kinds of data that Google can store on its servers. For the first time ever, a UEFI bootkit has successfully infected a fully patched Windows 11 system. Now, I will be using the pronunciation UEFI, just to let everybody out there know, for the Unified Extensible Firmware Interface for this video to keep it more compact. Now, this is software that boots up within your PC when it starts up, and it allows you to control the boot sequence before the OS starts. Last year, the Black Lotus UEFI malware popped up on hacker forums, and the seller claimed that it had strong persistence and antiviruses cannot scan for it or remove it. Security firm ESET, or ESET, found out that this was indeed true, as it bypasses the secure boot using a vulnerability which is tracked as CVE-2022-21894. Exploiting this vulnerability specifically leads to the secure boot bypass and persistence. It loads unsigned kernel code and it modifies the boot chain and the hardware component for Windows 11 machines, which is called the Trusted Platform Module, or TPM, ends up not being triggered. Since its inception, Black Lotus has gotten some upgrades. Now it can bypass the secure boot capabilities on Windows 11, which means that it will disable the security that comes with that operating system. This means that it can hide itself from defenses like Windows Defender and the memory integrity module called the Hypervisor Protected Code Integrity, which is used to protect the Windows kernel from attacks. It can also disable BitLocker data protections, and once installed, it works like an HTTP downloader, sending data to a command and control server, which is run by the attacker, and loading up other payloads on the victim's machines. UEFI bootkits used in the wild are kind of rare, and only a few officially happening throughout the years. Biggest of shoutouts to my Patreon supporters, especially my golden s'mores and their fur babies, for making this show possible since we don't have ads on the show at all, except for Patreon. Thank you so much to Russell. Hi, Russell. Paolo. Hi, Paolo. Randy, Joe, Aunt Sandy, Michael, and Kim. I know so many people in this lineup for being a part of the S'mores at patreon.com/ShannonMorris. Thank you so much. I love you all. This is my new Patreon page for the show where I will be posting all of the perks for patrons, including early access to this video. So if you are currently a Patreon on the ThreatWire page, you can switch over to the new page so you don't lose access to your perks. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/ShannonMorris for everything from tech reviews to security tutorials. I am super close to 100,000 subscribers, y'all. This is really exciting. I also have a new video about my favorite password managers on the channel, so definitely check it out. I also recently talked about cookies and session hijacking and all sorts of fun stuff. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Hack5 as well. Let's go ahead and finish out today's episode with my last top story about LastPass. And if you missed my coverage on the initial breach, check out the details, which I also shared on my main channel, Morse Code, for more information on this. So LastPass just continues to have a really great 2023. Yay! After LastPass's initial breach happened on August 12th of last year, apparently the same threat actor was also very busy stealing credentials from a senior DevOps engineer at the company from August 12th through August 26th. Now this allowed them to gain access to a data vault belonging to LastPass, which includes a cloud storage environment that has the encryption keys for vault backups that were stored on Amazon S3 buckets. Can you feel the cringe through the camera? Because I feel like I'm really giving off very cringy feels here. It's very likely this DevOps engineer was targeted, as they are one of only 4 employees at LastPass who had access to this corporate vault. The attacker targeted their home computer, specifically using an exploit directed at a vulnerable third-party media software package. Some folks have reported that this was Plex. This led to a remote code execution attack, which let the attacker install a keylogger on the victim's computer. They monitored the employee's keystrokes and eventually they stole the master password for the corporate vault. Since the attacker used valid credentials to access the data, LastPass did not detect it for 2 months, eventually noticing strange behavior through their AWS guard duty alerts when the attacker tried to use IAM roles to do something anomalous. The data in this vault includes, and I quote, encrypted secure nodes with access and decryption keys needed to access the AWS S3 LastPass production backups, other cloud-based storage resources, and some related critical database backups. So due to this, LastPass worked with the DevOps employee to harden their own home security. They've upgraded the MFA by adding Microsoft's conditional access PIN matching MFA, and they are rotating, quote, critical and high privilege passwords for internal use. So how does this affect customers? Well, currently LastPass is recommending users change their master password and enable MFA if it's not already in use, and change all the passwords for accounts stored in your vault. My recommendation is to switch to a new password manager, of which I have made many videos discussing my favorites and more secure options. I've also included options like local storage password managers, which is a wonderful option in my opinion. That's it for today. Thank you so much. I'm Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet.